Chachamenu in the Gemara tell us that we should conclude our davening with Yihu L'Ratzin Imrefi V'Hegyon Libi L'Fanecho Hashem Tzuri V'Goali. Now the reason to conclude that way, obviously, is because Dovr HaMelech in Tehillim Yutes tells us that there's a limitation to how much we can accomplish with the spoken word. He's the one who says Yihu L'Ratzin Imrefi. And he, Dovr HaMelech, was the most prolific writer of songs and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If anybody knew how to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was Dovr HaMelech. Jewish people, ever since Dovr HaMelech, for these thousands of years, have been reciting Tehillim, because if there's anybody who knows how to express a human emotion, a human feeling, a human desire, a human want, a human thought, and express it in a manner that can connect with and that can relate it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Dovr HaMelech. And with all of that, with all of his tremendous ability to speak and to say and to share in a meaningful way with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he, Dovr HaMelech himself, says, Yihu L'Ratzin Imrefi V'Hegyon Libi L'Fanech, and the feelings of my heart. Hegyon Libi L'Fanech means that which is in front of you, that which is L'Fanech, even though in this world I've not brought it out to expression, I've never articulated it. Maybe I don't even have the words to articulate it. But it's a part of what I feel, and it's a part of what I wish to be as I connect with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's also inclusive of things that I need and ideas that are stirring within me that I have not expressed in words, but that are very much a part of who and what I am, very much a part of what I wish to connect with you, and very much a part of what I offer up to you when I say, I am yours. I include those aspects of my being a human being that I am aware of and that I am unaware of, that I have expressed and that I don't know how to express. If Dovr HaMelech can say that, so we certainly have to say that as well. The idea, of course, also is that when we started the Amidah, we said, Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me use my lips, open my mouth, may I be able to express what I wish and what I need to express. And then, if you help me, Ufi Yagit Tehilosach, then I'll be able to say words that will be reflective of my praise of you. That's at the beginning. So, at the end, we similarly conclude with Imrei Fi, telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have just tried to use our ability to speak as best as we can. And now, again, we say, please, I'm about to conclude what I have to say. May my words be taken favorably by you. Yihu L'Ratzon. Ratzon meaning, may you see them and feel them to be of significance. May they be desirous in your eyes. May you have wish to have heard them. Because, again, it's an expression of admission of how limited we are. No matter how well we can speak, and no matter how much we are able to bring what's in our hearts and in our minds and conjure it all up correctly and find the words with which to express it, we're still very limited. We admit to that limitation, and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, accept my words as best as I could have formed them, and accept my thoughts and feelings as they were included in my words. So let's get into that part of what these words, V'Hegyon Libi, are all about. Hegyon Libi includes that which I think about and prepare to say before I say it. Remember how Chassidim HaRishonim, the Mishnah says, used to prepare and think about how and what to daven an hour before davening. So Hegyon Libi includes that which went into my preparatory thoughts, that which I was thinking about, that which was moving me to come before you. And now it may have come to expression in words. Maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe I had those thoughts in mind as I said the words of the Amidah. maybe not. But it's about that which was propelling my tefillah, the thoughts that brought me to stand before you. Another idea, perhaps when a person says, Yehud Ratzin Imrei Fi, he or she is saying, these are my words. I will go through the rest of my day with many thoughts. And please may those thoughts and those desires and those aspirations be important to you, and may you be mindful of them as well. So it's not only about the words I just finished davening and the thoughts that were on my mind before and during my tefillah, but the Hegyon Libi Lefanecha also could be a reference to that which I'm going to be thinking about, that which I will care about and do care about after this moment, during the rest of my day, when you will be fully aware, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Lefanecha, you'll be fully aware of what's on my mind and fully aware of what my thoughts and my hopes and dreams are, long-term and short-term. So please may those be in front of you and may they be important to you. So Yehud Ratzon Imrei Fi is about the conclusion of our davening, but also it's about that which I'm not going to necessarily say because I finished my davening, but I'm still thinking and feeling many things. And you know what those thoughts and feelings are. May they be important to you. May they be something that you are mindful of for the rest of my day. And finally, there's another idea in the Medrash Antilim, Medrash Shecher Toif, says that David HaMelech, when he says, Yul Ratzin Imnei Fi V'Hegyon Libi Lefanecha, Hashem Tzuri V'Goali, means to say that there are many words that I might express, and I don't fully even understand the meaning of those words. Tehillim can be said because we have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the full understanding and depth and full meaning of every word, very few of us can recite Tehillim and say that we have a full understanding of exactly what we are saying. Yet, in the words of the Medrash, David HaMelech asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu that when we say these words, it should be as important and as effective as the study of the most difficult tractates of Mishnah, like Negoim and Oihalois. Negoim about the tzaras a person might, Le'aleinu, have. Oihalois about the dinim of Tumen and Oil. Some of the most difficult and most exacting Mishnayos. What's the connection? Why would David HaMelech, according to this Medrash, want that our davening should be like the recitation and the study or practice of some of the halachas of Tumah and Tahara that are the most difficult to understand? So the Meshech Chochma of Meir Simcha Dvinsk said, if you look at what the halacha is in the Ga'im, a nega has to be declared by a kohen. Nobody else can declare a nega Tamei or Tahar but a kohen. The Negayim are very difficult to see and understand, to look at them and to discern, is it or is it not a source of Tumah, yes or no? Is it a Negat Saras, is it not? Is it a Sa'es, a Sapachas, a Beheres? What is it? And is it Tameh or Tar? Does it have all of the qualities and appearances of what's Tameh? Yes, no? It only can be decided by a Kohen. How many Kohanim really know? Well, there always were Kohanim who would know this. But what happens if you're living in a place where the Kohanim, maybe there are only a few of them, are not expert in Negayim? So a person who has a Nega has to show it to a Kohen. The Kohanim in this particular place, maybe a small town, aren't expert in the matter. There happens to be However, a Talmud Chacham, a Rav, a Paisik, who's expert in the Negayim, but he cannot make the declaration. So what is the halacha? So this expert goes and examines the person who has this skin malady. The person doing the examination, this great Talmud Chacham, decides whether it is or isn't a nega, tells the Kohen, and then the Kohen makes the declaration of either Tamei or not. Meaning that sometimes we don't know, but we say the words. When it comes to Negayim, they are important. The declaration is vital. It has to be that the Kohen makes the declaration, but the Kohen himself may not really know, but he's just saying the words based on what he's told by others who do know. So Rav Meir Simcha says that's what David HaMelech means. We can't understand all of the words of Tehillim. We don't really appreciate the profundity of so much of what we say. But may it be accepted by you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if it is rich and full in all of the possible meaning and with all of the possible sense of what the words mean. May you take it and receive it as if we knew and understood with the greatest depth of understanding every word we have spoken. So that's why we say, because when we daven, there's a tremendous amount here. Some of the brachos contain ideas that are so profound and that there's so much to understand and so much to appreciate that if we sat and reflect on in every word as we said it, so we could be davening all day. By the time you finish Shacharis, it'll be already time to daven Mincha. By the time you finish Mincha, it'll be time to daven Ma'ariv. Because the ideas in these words, if you really understand them, they are so profound and they're so important, but a lot of it is beyond us. So, both because maybe my kavanah wasn't fully what it should have been, and because there's so much more here than I even understand. The first bracha, for instance, the most important bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei, as we've learned it, the first bracha, there's so much in that first bracha. When you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kaini Akol, when you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kel Elyon, HaKel HaGod LaGibra V'Haneira, I mean, you could spend a lifetime comprehending or trying to comprehend the extent of what those words mean and their truth. So therefore, when we come to the conclusion of Shemoneh Esrei, we admit, look, we've said a lot of words, and there's a tremendous amount of meaning and importance to those words. We don't fully, I don't fully have the ability to even know and comprehend all of it, but I offer it up to you, so to speak, as best as I can. Take it and receive it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if it is a perfect expression of the truth that I wished to share with you in this moment or in these past moments when I have communed with you.
What would be a simple definition of the word Hegyon?
A thought, a feeling, a sense of things. Hegyon Halev means a sense of things. And the level of consciousness and awareness of that sense of things is not that it's up front and on the surface. It can be much deeper than that. And it's Hegyon Halev. Hashem Tzuri V'Ga'ali, of course, we end Tefillah the way we began Tefillah. How do we begin Tefillah? Smichas Gula L'Tefillah. Baruch Atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael. Because ultimately, that's where we're headed. We're headed to redemption, where man reaches a state of perfection. So that's how we begin our tefillah, and again, that's how we end our tefillah. Just as we began immediately after saying Ga'al Yisrael, so too, the last word is Hashem Tzuri V'Ga'ali. Those are the bookends on both ends. And it's very personal. Whereas in the beginning we said Ga'al Yisrael, at the conclusion, we finally, for the first time, speak in the first person in Lashon Yachid and say Hashem Tzuri V'Ga'ali.
And Tzuri Yisrael leads into that as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So you have the same idea of Tzur, meaning the only source of support, and what we can rely upon is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Goel. And we conclude with that as well, because ultimately that's where all atfilas are meant to lead. The ultimate success of the individual and of the Klal Yisrael is Geula. Then we take three steps back. We have concluded our davening. Nevertheless, even though we are concluded, we say again how important Shalom is. As we mentioned, that's why it's the final bracha, the pinnacle of all of our davening. Oyseh Shalom b'mraimav hu yaaseh Shalom aleinu. He who creates and establishes Shalom in the heavens, in the highest physical and metaphysical spheres, yaaseh Shalom aleinu. The Chasam Sefer explains, as others do, b'mraimav, in the highest places, there are malachim, closest, so to speak, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are the forces and powers which he allows and which he causes to hold forth, if you will, throughout the universe. These forces include great astrophysical forces of fire, power in sun, stars, Aish, as we call it. And then, of course, there's all of the cold and frozen matter of the rock, water, meteorites. In other words, that there's in Shamayim, in the heavens, Aish and Mayim. Shamayim is made up of those two, Aish and Mayim. And they coexist perfectly. The Malachim involve the powerful heavenly forces that also have influence, or that allow for there to be an, in a physical created universe, Eish and Mayim, those Malachim, they're doing the Ritzon Habari. They do as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wishes. Oseh Shalom b'mraimav. And there is this perfection of all of the vastness of the universe, where Eish and Mayim serve side by side, without dissonance, without interruption of one of the other, in perfect peace in Shalom. Oseh Shalom b'mraimav hu yaaseh Shalom aleinu. What is man made up of? Man is made up of a physical body, with needs and felt wants and needs and desires. And then man has a neshama. The neshama is from the holiest source. The neshama is that godly portion that's within us. And it needs to be reconciled with, and it needs to come to peace with being in the body. And the body needs to come to peace with having the neshama rooting in it. So what we say is, Eish Shalom b'mraimav, who has made Shalom between Eish and Mayim, yaaseh Shalom aleinu, should cause that there be peace, not only between Am Yisrael and other nations, not only within and between and amongst us in Klal Yisrael, but he who has made peace in the highest realms, between the most powerful forces, angelic forces, physical forces, yaaseh Shalom aleinu, should take that which is within me and help me reconcile so that my person be whole. Personal peace. A sense of personal shalom, which can only be established when we are at peace with every aspect of our physical and emotional / spiritual self. When the spiritual self of man is at peace with his or her physicality, their life, what they do, how they do it, how they appear, what they do, how they accomplish, what they accomplish, where they go, how they talk. When we are in our spiritual selves completely reconciled to the guf, and the guf is reconciled to the spirit, that's yaaseh Shalom aleinu. And then if I have that, and other people in Klal Yisrael have that, if other people are at peace within themselves, then it's possible to hope for Aleinu v'al kol Yisrael, then that kind of peace reigns not just within me, but if it's within me, it's within my family, between our families, between our communities. And Klal Yisrael achieves shalom personally and nationally. Why do we say these words and at the same time bow? And with this we'll conclude. So it's interesting that you would want to admit humbly that you are leaving. So when you take three steps back and you move away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you admit that you will no longer be, as it were, in his exclusive presence, you're also going to turn to others, to people, to work, to learn, to study, to the rest of your life. You're going to no longer be exclusively focused only on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it would be very much appropriate to humbly pull away and bow as we leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Just as when you enter, start the Shemoneh Esrei that way with Baruch Ato Hashem and bowing. So similarly, we would do that as we leave. But there's also a certain aspect of shalom and bowing that come together. And I'll tell you why. This was an idea of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yakir, who said that we know that shalom ultimately comes when a person is blessed with children and children's children. When there's a sense of the security we have of that accomplishment of the souls, of the neshamas that are brought into the world, and that give us a sense of nitzchius, a sense of eternity. So the pasuk reads, Ure'ei vanim livanecha, shalom al Yisrael. And the Gemara in Ksuba says, a person achieves shalom when they have their children having children, so that they sense this peacefulness all about them. So it's about doiros, and then you have shalom. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the Jewish people that they would be redeemed and that they would have children, we were in Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, we're going to leave. Yetzias Mitzrayim is happening. And he's preparing us with teaching how to prepare first Pesach, Pesach Mitzrayim. And he tells us about the children that we're going to have. And immediately thereafter, the pasuk reads, Vayikoid ha'am vayishtachavu. Rashi on the spot says that we were thankful to Hashem because of the Geula and the Besurah, the news that told us we're going to have children, meaning we're going to have families, that will be a people that will have children and children's children, a future that will be of a Jewish nature, and that will be ours, will have eternity. Because of that busura, because of the fact that we were going to have the children and the children's children. So that's why when we pull back away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, shalom bimroim v'yasa shalom aleinu v'al kol Yisrael, and we're mentioning shalom, which ultimately comes with bnei banim, u'rei banim l'vanecha shalom al Yisrael, just as in Mitzrayim, when we had that good news of the children told to us, we bow. So when we refer to shalom, which always includes our view and our hope and our trust in the future for our children's sake, we bow as well. So if you have a place in the Shemoneh Esrei where it's about children and about the future and about being thankful for that future, interestingly enough, it's in that last moment when we say Oyser Shalom Bimram Bavuyasa Shalom Aleinu, where we can be mechaven to that sense of peace that comes with the hope and trust and dreams that we have for the sake of and because of the blessing of children and children's children.